All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our NFL podcast for Thursday, September 21st.
Your birthday, buddy. Before we move on, let's have the whole audience sing you a happy birthday. So don't just move past it. I know it's hard. I can't frankly even imagine what the world will be like when I'm your age. Like, it's just flying cars, I assume. Maybe we've colonized Mars. I'm just not totally sure. But I do want the audience to know that it is your birthday. You are the birthday boy. So get out the birthday hat. Send Doug a birthday chat. And do Doug a favor tonight. Send him just a quick message asking him about a couple of plays personally directly to his chat PM as a little birthday present from you to Doug. So that's
the only present I want. The only present I want is for you to rate and review the podcast on iTunes. There you go. If you want to give me a birthday present, go over to iTunes, rate and review the podcast. You can mention that it's a birthday present. I don't care. DFS is an old man's game, as I've been proving for a little bit of time now. I'm Doug Norrie. That's James Davis. We're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com. DFSR. Don't interrupt me when I'm saying the name of the website. DFSR.com/NFL. We'll get you a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab. That's optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, MLB, NFL, NBA, which is so soon away, which I can't believe. And it all is covered under one subscription package, free for 3 days, and then $29.95 a month after that. That price is for now, and then we're going to raise our prices come around NBA season. So, yes. I guess you give me your other birthday, my other birthday present. You can go sign up for that too, because that's also how we get paid. So whatever's going to keep me in business is a fine enough birthday present. It's like the equivalent of sending me that little card in the mail with the cash in it. When you flip the card over and just see what flutters out, and then throw the rest of the card away, like I did yesterday with my dad. All right, let's talk about, what are we talking about? Oh yeah, cash game plays for this week's for week three in the NFL. We wrote up some cash game plays that are up on the website right now. We're going to kind of go through them here, and then tomorrow, as some of you know, unless you're a first-time listener, we break down on Fridays, we break down game by game really every consideration that you can take into account going into the week for NFL. But today we kind of focus on who we see as standing out, as you know, where we can maybe start to think about anchoring our 50-50 games, our cash games for week three, with a caveat that, look, these things change with injuries, and there are a couple injury concerns this week, though, that are kind of hanging out there, which we can get into. Anyway, deep breath. I'm done talking. Let's talk about cash plays for this week. All right. Quarterback, I think I'm just going to look real quick when Green Bay's bye is, because other than that, I'm wondering if that's the only week that we don't include Aaron Rodgers in the cash. Now, I didn't lead the article with him, but do you think, I mean, at this point with him, do you think he's just going to be in the cash game, like cash game articles every single week? Like, he's expensive, 9,300, but man, this guy just kind of doesn't matter for him, right? Like, he just goes out and does it every single week. Doesn't matter who the personnel is. Like, do you think we just see 16, not straight weeks because they have a bye, but 16 weeks of Aaron Rodgers here?
I mean, it's certainly possible. You can make a very strong argument that he's actually run bad in terms of overall fantasy points this season, given that, you know, he doesn't have any rushing touchdowns, which he will have from time to time. The fact that he's averaged 320 yards a game, but only has 1.5 touchdowns per game, and has one interception per game, in spite of the fact that he's got a 66% completion rate. You know, all those things taken together leads me to believe that the best is even yet to come for him. And yeah, he's super expensive, and he actually hasn't really paid these prices technically. He's just so expensive. But a bad matchup against Seattle, good matchup against Atlanta, a good matchup against Cincinnati here. I think he's a high-owned guy, but maybe not as high-owned as he should be. So, yeah, I like him quite a bit.
He was low-owned last week, and he was one of the top plays. Like, he threw over 300 yards and 2 touchdowns, and some of it was garbage time stuff. I think he had
19 fantasy points. Like, definitely nothing to write home about.
Oh, well, he had 23.5 DraftKings points on 343 and 2 touchdowns. That's completely viable for cash, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah,
and
it's not unviable. It's just not amazing.
Sure. And then he's, you know, I look at like FanDuel, right? You want to be right around 2 to 2.5x, and he sort of got there. He's just so consistent, right? And like the thing that was actually so encouraging about last week was he did it all, or he did most of it, without Jordy Nelson, his top wide receiver, and then he lost Cobb in the second half. Sometime in the second half, Cobb left the game because of injury. So it kind of also doesn't even matter who his personnel is, right? Like Geronimo Allison, Martellus Bennett were the guys, Devontae Adams he's throwing to, who's like a third option when everyone's healthy. He makes these guys look great. I don't think he'll be high-owned again this week. I actually think this week a slightly bigger concern for him is that they just might kill the Bengals, who kind of look like they could be on their way to just being one of the worst teams in the NFL. So that's my only concern there. They're minus 8.5 favorites They do have one of the highest implied lines. He's at home. He's been he's just been good everywhere for his career. So I think, you know, looking down his schedule too for the rest of the season, there's just not a lot of solid defensive matchups coming down the pike for him either. Like, he's got the Bears next week. The Cowboys are kind of slow, but that's an afternoon game. He's got the Ravens later on in the season, but there's like the Browns, the Lions, Saint Lions, I guess would need the Saints.
Can we compare him to Tom Brady though? Because I agree that Rodgers is a great play. But last week, you know, Rodgers was about 9% owned in cash games. Brady was in the mid-30s. Brady and Rodgers, almost identical prices this week. Brady and the Patriots are favored or implied to score 3 more total points than the Packers. Both teams have blowout risk, of course, but I'm sorry, it's 2.5 points. But given that Brady's team is scheduled to score more points, and, you know, New England isn't exactly a run-happy team either, do you think that Brady is just going to be significantly higher owned than Rodgers once again?
I hope so. Reason to,
you hope so. Wow.
Yeah, because I just don't – like, Brady to me strikes me like, – there's too many scenarios for the Patriots here where – they just don't even need to use him. Really, they don't need to step on throats in the end of the game. Like, Houston's other level bad too, and their blowout risk for them is even more significant at -13.5. I just don't think we're. I mean, like last week, we kind of had like sort of not a shootout, but like there's always a chance the Saints can kind of come back on you. The game's in a dome. It's got a little faster pace going to it. That's just not going to be the case here with New England. I just think that I'm a little spooked by the line. I could see a scenario where they get up early and then they just kind of run Gillislee in the second half. Now, I get that that's also sometimes not the Belichick style, which is to continue to just, I don't know, keep driving at 100 miles an hour down the highway and keep passing even when you don't need to. But Rodgers just strikes me as a safer commodity all around, just because there's just like the team is so dependent on every single thing he does to score points, whereas New England just doesn't strike me as the same case. Like, they can just start running the ball all the time, like they did in week one there they got killed. I'm just thinking of other scenarios last season where
yeah, I think it's fair. I mean, you think about the defenses too, like Houston last season allowed the fewest yards in the NFL overall. I mean, in spite of having a bad team, they are happy to slow the game down if possible. New Orleans, on the other hand, the team that Brady blew out last week, allowed the fifth most total yards. So if you feel like, you know, maybe it meets in the middle somewhere and things kind of normalize. Brady also looked like crap in week one. I mean, he was 16 for 36 against the Chiefs, who didn't look nearly as good on defense in week two. So I think there's definitely points in that favor. But I think if you're going to roster Rodgers the way, you know, our system suggests you do right now, expect to be on the under-owned side of that chalk this week. That would be my overall guidance.
I was shocked by his ownership last week. I couldn't believe it was that low. Like, I didn't think he'd be like uber, like over 50% or anything, but the fact that he came in at like 10% in cash games, I couldn't believe it. I was really excited when I saw it because I was like, oh, this is great, because I was pretty confident about him. I mean, we had him and Matt Ryan sort of split for cash games. And actually, Ryan is the other guy that I wrote up here, as he actually wrote him up above Tom Brady. Because I actually think because of the price considerations here, Ryan might be just a slightly better play. He's 800 less on FanDuel and a little bit less on DraftKings, which I'm just – I was only 200 less on DraftKings, so it's probably a little closer there. I probably favor Rodgers. But 800 less on FanDuel makes a big difference. Now, the good things here with the Falcons are – their offense is obviously great. Ryan is just unbelievably efficient in the just as a drop back passer. I think the completion percentage is, I believe, up over 70%. He was the most consistent week to week quarterback last year in terms of fantasy points. Now, he was not the top overall fantasy point scorer. That was Rodgers. But in terms of just week to week consistency, Ryan did slightly edge out Rodgers there. How concerned are we? I think he's in a good spot here. They're favored. They're supposed to put up points. Detroit's actually looked pretty damn good on defense this year. How concerned are we with the Detroit team? It's only 2 weeks in, so I'm not going to go crazy on these kind of numbers. But in terms of DVOA, like, Detroit is fourth in the league right now and top 10 in both pass and rush. How concerned are we that they're just a real defense and that could stymie some of what Ryan's production could be?
Yeah, it's not out of the realm of possibility. I mean, they did go up against Arizona with David Johnson and John Brown getting hurt. So, you know, there was that. They went up against the Giants in week two. The Giants, you know, kind of no running game whatsoever. Beckham, you know, who knows if he's at his full level of health. So I'm not ready to crown Detroit just yet. I would guess they're more like a league average defense based on, you know, a two-game sample where they were effective this year, but, you know, being a slightly below average defense last season. I think that's probably a pretty fair assumption. So I can't be scared off by them. I am a little bit concerned when it comes to Bryant about the Falcons' red zone usage this season. Ryan has just, what is it, two touchdowns or one? I can't even, I got to pull this up. Yeah, he's got two touchdowns across the two games, which seems like it's a little low given the fact that he's averaged almost 300 passing yards per game. But they've just been dumping it to Freeman when they get down low. Are you concerned at all about that? Like, are we giving up a lot of upside potentially and a decent amount of floor just by the fact that it seems to be Freeman left, right, and center once again inside the 10-yard line?
You know, watching the game last week, they did throw a couple times in the red zone, and they just weren't able to complete it and then ran the ball with Freeman, I believe. I need to go back and look at the exact play to break down there. But it wasn't like they weren't throwing at all in the red zone. They were getting into these advantageous spots. And then the Freeman runs were, you know, it's a little concerning because I think they came from about 5 yards out. Like, they weren't real down and close when those Freeman runs came. So a little concerned. Those things tend to... I mean, Falcons have a pretty long, big sample size here with like how they've done some red zone usage, and it's not concerning to me because like this is the exact same personnel they had last year. Basically, they were fine throwing it in the red zone last season. Ryan's bigger problem. So Ryan has like the opposite problem of Rodgers. Ryan's problem is that the team has just a ton of weapons, including guys on the ground, and that can eat into some of his upside because one, they can get up and they can just run the ball a lot. Like, they have two just quality running backs, obviously. Freeman's excellent, and Coleman's just a great change of pace guy that they use a lot. So that's like the problem with Ryan is their attack is so balanced that can sort of at times eat into his overall production, and that's my concern. I think, you know, going back to Detroit's defense for a second, the reason you don't trust, I mentioned the DVOA thing more as a way to just say also, like, this is why we can't totally trust these numbers this early in the season, because Detroit's been gifted, like you said, like that Arizona team was half of an Arizona team when they played them. The Giants have looked absolutely god-awful in the first 2 weeks of the season on offense. So it's going to be easy for just about any defense to look pretty good against them. And then if you're halfway decent, you're going to look great, which is basically what happened with Detroit. So, you know, when we look at a Vegas line, this is where you should lean on Vegas a little bit, because their motivations are a little different than just publishing raw stats for a team, which is to say the Falcons are still favored here to score a decent amount of points, and that's the part I'm going to trust. And I'm just sort of hoping that the red zone usage on Ryan smooths out over the course of the season, with the idea that, look, that, you know, we were joking in chat the other day that Freeman was vulturing his touchdowns. I understand that's like not the strict definition of vulturing. Like, Freeman's just allowed to get his touchdowns if that's what they're going to do.
What a vulture.
Yeah. It was just funny to use the term like that. But look, 27 implied points. It's one of the highest on the week. A couple ticks below Brady, right around on that Rodgers thing. I think I'm totally fine with Ryan. He's just, the accuracy is there, and he's so consistent. I only really wrote up those two guys because I saw those as the main cash considerations, but I did kind of like throw a nod here to Derek Carr. I'm wondering your thoughts on Carr. He, I believe the Raiders have the highest implied total of the week, or it's right around with the Patriots.
Just under the Patriots.
Yeah, 28.5. But this game, actually, the difference between the Raiders and the Patriots here is this game, sort of like that the Atlanta game, is this game is actually supposed to stay close with the Redskins, which makes me, you know, in a situation like this, second highest implied points with the difference of, like, it's going to stay close, so everyone's going to just kind of keep playing at least through the fourth quarter. How do you view a guy like Carr in a situation like this? I don't know, just maybe as a cash game play in the same kind of, in the same price range as the guys mentioned above.
No, I love Carr this week. I think Washington is a pretty bad pass defense overall. You know, I think a lot of ballyhoo was made when Norman moved over to Washington. And while that has had an effect on opposing wide receiver ones for Washington, it really hasn't affected their passing defense overall. Last season, they allowed the fourth highest completion percentage of any team in the NFL at a staggering 66%. Like, that's basically, they just turned the average quarterback they face into Aaron Rodgers. So that's not a great sign to start with. This season hasn't really been much better for them, allowing a 64% completion rate and the fifth highest passing yards per game, in spite of not having super, super tough matchups. So I think Carr will be highly owned, and I think justifiably so. I mean, I think he was really good in his first two starts against Tennessee and the Jets. Maybe not super great defenses, but yeah, 5 passing touchdowns. We saw him getting it, like, unlike Ryan or even Rodgers on some level, and Brady actually too. The Raiders really do want to pass even when they get down and low, and I think he's an excellent player.
Yeah, no, they've looked a ton at Crabtree and Cooper through the first 2 weeks. Oh, yeah. And that first week it was Cooper. He had 4 or 5 red zone passes by the end of it. And then obviously Crabtree caught the 3 touchdowns last week too. So yeah, they're completely willing to pass. They have an interesting ground game because they I think they ran like four different guys in different plays against the Jets last week. But they're not, you know, they have Lynch who they'll lean on, but they can kind of change a pace at times also. That game was also a blowout, so who really knows what the goal there was. I don't know. Carr probably falls below Ryan and Rodgers for me just in terms of overall projection. So I don't think that he's going to get there for our cash game purposes. Like, I can't imagine a scenario. Like, he's pretty far behind Ryan. I do think that probably in general our system is a little low on Carr for reasons I'm going to look into as we get off the podcast, because we have him coming in under some other quarterbacks that maybe doesn't make total sense, like Roethlisberger maybe, or even like Russell Wilson. So that's something we'll look into. But I do think Carr will be a pretty popular play here. Another guy that I think is going to be a popular play this week, and I suspect he's just going to be chalk, and it's going to be interesting because this is going to be a situation of what do we believe about this guy. But Le'Veon Bell, his price has dropped across the industry. He's down under 9,000 on both sites, 8,700 on FanDuel, 8,800 on DraftKings. You know, first week he was maybe knocking some of that rust off. He looked pretty bad in a weird scripted game, I guess, against the Browns. So maybe we throw that one out a little bit. It was his first game back. The game was a little weird. The Pittsburgh didn't have the ball a ton in the first half. Last game, though, he had 27 carries. He had four targets, 31 total touches against the Vikings. Really wasn't that good. only 91 total yards.
It wasn't.
Where do we feel about him? Like, I think he's going to be complete chalk here because of the price and just the name and some of these other running backs, or the pricing's a little bit weird. Are you on the same page here with his ownership? I can see his ownership being like 70% in cash games on FanDuel.
Yeah, I love Bell this week. I think he's a great play. All I wanted to see come back for him was the total number of touches, given that the touches are back and he didn't break off any big runs. Bell's an interesting runner because he does sort of rely on bigger runs to kind of pad his stats a little bit. And when they don't come together, he can have some of these ugly 3.2 yards per attempt games. But I think we have enough of a track record on him that we can trust him. I think he's young enough for us to pretty confidently say at the age 25, he's probably not burnt out just yet, in spite of getting a lot of touches in the past. So, yeah, I think we're getting a discount on him. I think he'll be very heavily owned, and I think justifiably so. I think he's going to shred Chicago. Like, they're already not a great running defense, and they're going up against one of the best rushers in the league. I think this is the week Bell gets back on, and the sites, you know, kind of overcorrect back in the other direction, and we have to pay like 8 or 9% more for him next week. So, yep, this is the week you buy. This is like the exact situation you're waiting for.
This is a weird week in the sense, and this is a weird week from a Vegas standpoint, because there's a lot more actually road favorites than home favorites this week. I think it's something like, yeah. I don't know, it's 60 or 65%, maybe more road favorites. Pittsburgh is one of them that we do typically want to look at running backs that are favorites at home, but that just those don't really seem to exist this week, except for, you know, well, there's the guy we'll get to in a second with that, and then Gillisley, I guess, for New England. But really, overall, that's just not the case this week. There's just a lot more teams, just by sort of just luck of the schedule, a lot more teams going on the road as favorites. Now, that being said, the next thing we just really want to focus on is at least just be a favorite, and the Pittsburgh is here. He's the clear bell cow runner for them. They're -7. I do think with that price drop, you're going to see him as probably the most owned player on the slate. I think it's correct. I think you can definitely fade him for GBPs, because if you think the ownership is going to be through the roof, there's plenty of other guys with upside. And there are enough slight little warning bell question marks here with Bell. I think that he doesn't make – he's just not a complete 100% lock for me in terms of how I feel about it, because we just had now a couple weeks of him just – quote, not looking like himself. I know that's like a weird thing to say, but it just really hasn't been the case. He just hasn't really put up any numbers, but that's facilitated the price drop. After him, I wrote up Jay Ajayi. Man, the Jets, it doesn't matter. I'm wondering if you joined the backfield for one of these teams, like how many yards you could get against the Jets. They have been
-30,
you think? I was going to say like -60, because if they kept feeding.
It depends on how many carries
I got. if you were the bell cow. Yeah, I didn't mention you were the bell cow runner, so it's actually more like -6.
Well, I would die. The thing is, though, then they would just hand the ball to me lying on the ground, kind of shivering, and they would have to carry me up to the
That's a good point. It'd actually be like -4, because then you'd be off on a stretcher. Right. One carry, -4, and headed to the locker room. But the Jets have just been completely, completely crushed on the ground. Last week we saw that. Where the Raiders, you know, ran Cordarrelle Patterson out of the backfield. He broke off a huge run. Really, anybody could get anything going against them. They're awful. Do you think a guy like Jay Ajayi, they played him a lot in third down last week, which was something a little bit different than they had done last season. If he's going to be just as every down back now, which really is looking like the trending he's going to be, and they're going to, they gave him blow ball something like 27 times, something like that, 27 times last game. Do you think he should just kind of be also a chalk guy against the run defense with a guy, you know, we very rarely see this kind of implied volume from a runner. Do you think he kind of is moving into that bell class of guys that they're just going to feed the ball all game long?
I think so. I mean, last season he did touch the ball an awful lot. You know, he averaged about 17 carries a game to go with roughly 2 receptions per game. So 19 touches a game isn't exactly on the low end. You know, I think a lot of people have this idea in their head of the 20 carry per game back, and those don't really exist in the same way that I think most people perceive them to. So given that we can get safety on Ajayi, you know, when healthy, Miami does want to lean on him, and particularly when the game script is in their favor, you know, they would just as soon never pass the ball, as best I can tell. So given that Ajayi is effective, you know, given that Cutler is erratic, I think you see Ajayi touch the ball a ton, and I think he'll ultimately wind up a little bit more expensive than he is now, you know, perhaps 5%, something like that. A thing to keep an eye on Ajayi is that he did miss Wednesday practice. You know, he was riding on a stationary bike, so all signs right now point to the fact that he'll play, but he does have that questionable tag on him, and if he doesn't come in, obviously you're not going to want to play him. And even if, by the way, if he's like a game-time decision, he's not such a slam-dunk play that I would force him in there and just hope for the best. Like, I would definitely want to see a fully clean bill of health on him before I recommended him without qualification.
Yeah, and last year, actually, remember, he wasn't the starter until like week 4. So if you look at his season numbers, when he was the starter, his carries were actually more like 19 carries per game.
Yeah,
if you lop off the first game, 3 games of the season where they were using the running back by committee until they really fully committed to him, it looks like in week, just I don't remember this off the top of my head because I'm looking at his game log here, but it looks like they fully committed to him right around week 5. If you go from week 5 on, his carries were actually about right around 20 per game. So I think this is what we can expect to see. And featured enough in the passing game over the course of the season. Not a huge pass catcher. Did have a couple games of 3 or more. So he had 1, 2, 3, 4 games of 3 or more catches. That's kind of all you want to see. I love this play here. He's not the best runner in the world. So he did, like, his yards per carry are just kind of fine when he's in the starter's role. And he wasn't great yards per carry last week. But again, this Jets defense is really can't be understated. They have just been completely killed. And it, actually, this is one of those situations where they, you know, we look at like early season returns and say, you know, how much do we want to make from a team? You know, in terms of like who they played, like, you know, we mentioned that with Detroit, like, oh yeah, the defense looks great because they haven't played anybody. Well, the Jets really haven't played any really all that good running backs to start the season either. Well, I guess they have McCoy in week 1, but you know, the Raiders aren't featuring any just top 10 running backs or anything. So I think Ajayi is going to be a very popular play. He is a little bit expensive at 8,200 on FanDuel, so it has me a little bit concerned. But overall, I think that you see him, yeah, maybe at least on FanDuel in that 20 to 25% ownership range. Probably a little lower on DraftKings just because the PPR kind of hurts him a little bit. I mentioned the one other running back that we wanted to get to here from a home favorite point of view was Ty Montgomery. Ty, you know, last week, he's just kind of exactly what you want to see. He's the guy that runs, he's a downhill runner a little bit. No, excuse me, I take that back. That's the wrong word. He's a feature back when they're winning, and when they are losing, he actually lines up as a wide receiver. He did last week. Do you see him as, sure. His running stats really have been pretty bad this season. Now, some of that, you know, week 1 against Seattle is going to be a problem. They have a pretty big front 4. And then last week, they were just kind of losing to the Falcons. How much are you looking into that as being an issue for him as a runner? Or did he kind of get game scripted out of just putting up any real rushing stats in the first 2 weeks because of the way the games played out?
Well, yes, I think Seattle, that was just wasn't good. Game script was kind of in his favor. He got 23 total touches, didn't turn that into 100 yards. Did get a touchdown. One thing we can pretty definitively say about Montgomery is that he is the goal line back, which just increases both your floor and your ceiling. Like, if you're just not going to give up your touchdowns to some other dude when you get down and low, that really, really helps. And I love how they're using him in the passing game. You know, 10 receptions through 2 games means he's like a pretty good, solid pass catching back, and at 7,200, it's really hard to get guys with 20 carry upside and kind of a floor-ish of 4 receptions per game. So taking all that together, I think he's an excellent play. He was very highly owned last week, and I can't imagine in a game where Green Bay is this heavily favored against Cincinnati that it's going to change for this week. So I think he'll probably be, I don't know, between him and Bell, I would guess Montgomery will be the highest owned running back.
You
and
think so?
I think that's going to be
interesting.
I think so. He's just been great. Like, he's got the fantasy point totals. He's got the very low price, which lets you pay up elsewhere. I mean, I guess it's between him and Bell. I certainly think he'll be higher owned than Ajayi. He's averaging 22 fantasy points a game this season. Like, that's just going to jump out to not only, you know, it's going to jump out to casual players, I think, first and foremost, given the price. And it's also going to jump out to sharks because I think all the other peripheral stuff helps for him as well. So, yeah, second in the NFL in terms of fantasy points per games behind your boy Kareem Hunt, which we should probably talk about at some point. But Maybe we can save that for the game by game.
Yeah, we'll talk about Hunt. We'll talk about Hunt there for the game by game one, because there's just the running backs are there are a lot of considerations. I actually have a running back, extra running back column going up today where I talk about some other guys like C.J. Anderson, Tarik Cohen. If Jordan Howard were not to play, I think Tarik Cohen would have been one of the guys we discuss here. But that injury situation is a little in doubt. There are a lot of other guys. I think we could take a look at Dalvin Cook as well. So take a look at that going up in the site today. Tried to look at some other running backs, but Kareem Hunt definitely is part of that conversation as well. It's always tough to get a read on these rookie running backs this early in the season simply because, again, these sample size issues. Some of these sample size issues, some samples kind of like round themselves out pretty early. Like usage stuff, I think, kind of rounds itself out pretty early for most teams. Like if things are relatively unchanged. But things like yards per carry and just overall trending defenses do take a couple weeks for us to figure out. And Hunt just strikes me as one of those guys that I'm just having a tough time getting a total read on.
Before we move on, Doug, let's talk about FantasyFactor.com. Fantasy Factor, one of the longest-term sponsors of the DFSR podcast, and for good reason. They offer a really cool product for a certain niche of the DFS market that's kind of underserved, and that's for people who, you know, are kind of casual players playing between $5 and $100 a night who don't want to put in lineups against the people who play, you know, 50 to 5,000 lineups a day on some of the bigger sites. It's the same salary cap game format you're used to, so you go there, you can pick players and, you know, plug them in and try to make your best possible lineups, but without guys putting in 500 optimal lineups that they've been working on for 20 hours per week. So you can go over to FantasyFactor.com. You can check them out. They have a ton of great free rolls happening all the time. If you're not quite ready to invest yet, they do have another free roll coming up for week three. So check them out, FantasyFactor.com. And if you'd like, tell them we sent you.
Let's move over to some of the wide receivers we have going here. Wide receiver, to me, was tough. I mean, running back kind of stood out to me as those three guys were pretty clear plays for me, right? Yeah. At least for cash game considerations. I did not have the same situation kind of going on here for wide receiver. I went back and forth on a lot of these different plays. The pricing is kind of tight. The matchups aren't great. I started with Antonio Brown. I don't love it, mostly because of the price. I put him on here simply because he's been so amazing to start the season. With a guy like Brown, he's 9,000 on both sites. He's been, you know, a complete and crazy target monster to start the season. There are some blowout concerns here. Do you put him, I mean, from a talent standpoint, definitely, but from a price and maybe game script standpoint, do we trust a guy like Brown in cash to be able to pay all the way up for him?
I mean, it always depends on how else the rest of the lineup shakes out. I suspect that with the way it looks right now, we won't spend up in that spot because I think we're going to want to pay up at quarterback and for Bell at running back. And I certainly think that both of those are kind of a safer overall play than going with Brown. It's worth noting on Brown. I mean, it's not really been so much the targets. It's been the efficiency. Like, he's got 16 catches on 22 targets. The 22 targets is in the top 10, but not, you know, one of these top overall guys. I'm sorry, it's a top four, but it's not like Hopkins at almost 30 targets and Bryant at 25. But the efficiency is just through the roof, and actual how many yards he's turned it into is so much higher than the rest of the league. You know, he's got 244 receiving yards. Adam Thielen is second at 201, and Tyreek Hill is third at 176. So he's about 80 receiving yards higher than the third place guy. And it really just points to the state of the NFL so far this season, which is that it's been really tough to get safe receiving yards. And so, you know, on DraftKings, on places that matters a little more, I think Brown is definitely your guy.
Yeah, no, and if you look at the two guys that are actually targeted ahead of him, Hopkins and Bryant, those guys have been, I mean, talk about inefficient targets, right? Like Hopkins might be the most inefficiently targeted guy in the history of NFL by the time it's all over, the way they're kind of just like, just come hell or high water feeding him the ball. And the Cowboys have had their own issues with Dez. Now, Dez had drawn insanely bad matchups to start the season, so there's like some of that can be explained away. But, you know, these teams, the difference between targets for Brown, like Brown, I know he's third, but he's really kind of just first when you look at just the way that he's able to convert
just don't
him.
Count those big time guys, sure.
Right, exactly. And I think you can like kind of like not count them because they're just not getting their targets in the same way that we really want, right? So, you know, you can't really just pick and choose when you just say you want to use something, when you don't want to. But now Brown, I think the only issue here with Brown is just the price. And I think that might be the only reason that he doesn't end up in cash game plays, because if you want to maybe spend up at a slightly more safe position, which might be running back or quarterback, though, it gets close with some of these really top-end wide receivers. I think that's where Brown kind of gets left on the floor. The next guy I wrote up was Jarvis Landry. Talk about targets. Now, Landry, actually, it'd be interesting to see where his target, where he landed on the target list here if Miami just hadn't had to sit out week one, because
he'd be the top guy on a targets per game basis.
Oh, yeah, 15 targets to start the season. Cutler was clearly just looking his way the entire game. Game was a little slower just because the Chargers don't play at an extremely fast pace. And Miami was winning, though the game did stay close. How much are we, you know, new quarterback here. Cutler has some, oh, man, I hate to use this word. I was going to say pedigree, but that's like the wrong word because pedigree implies like being good. he's been in the NFL for a while, so he like knows.
It implies being
he's
an NFL bred. You know, that's really what pedigree means when it comes to
Pop. Right. Yeah, no, that doesn't describe Jay Cutler. I don't know. He has been in the he has been an NFL starting quarterback in the past in his life before, and didn't look terrible. Week one didn't look particularly great, but
week two, you mean, right?
Or excuse me, week two, their week one. Do you think that this is what we can sort of expect from Landry? He's a possession guy. He only turned it into 78 total yards. He's not going to really ever be that big downfield guy, really, in any offense. They kind of did that more with Devontae Parker in the second week. But where do we see him as in terms of a PPR guy? Like, this is the kind of guy we just lock in here if this is what we can expect to see on a week-to-week basis?
I think there's a good chance. So the case for Cutler and the Miami offense this season is that Cutler in the past has been kind of given the opportunity to sort of air it out, you know, and just get in there and just throw it as far as he can and see what happens. And that's obviously created this pretty terrible career touchdown interception ratio of about 210 to 146. And that's pretty bad. But the thing is, if they're going to have him just pass on these short routes and kind of settle for a lower yards per attempt, but just take off the table those downfield bombs. Cutler is older now, you know, presumably a little bit more mature. The guy's 34 years old, you know. So if he's kind of reined in the emotions a little bit, is willing to keep it in tight, then I think we can trust guys like Landry. And I think if Miami's successful, then they're going to stick with the formula that works. And they're a very conservative team over the last 10 years or so in terms of just how they approach the games. And if they want to bring Cutler in and tell him, listen, dude, you can be a starting quarterback in the NFL, but you're going to throw it to Jarvis Landry 15 times and you're going to hand it off to Jay Ajayi 22 times, I think that might be where we're at. So I actually really like Landry for week two. It also seems super safe because Landry's not going to be a surprise to anyone. Like, he's 6,800 and everyone's going to want to spend up elsewhere. So you're going to see Landry, I think, kind of move into that Larry Fitzgerald role of the very obvious mid-range salary guy that everyone winds up playing. Landry also has the questionable tag right now. Didn't practice on Wednesday as well, so you want to keep an eye on it. But I think it looks more like a cautionary thing than me, or to me than some of these other things. So I think if Landry comes back for week three, I think he's almost a must cash game inclusion because he's just going to be so much more heavily targeted than these other guys.
Yeah, so many guys actually didn't practice yesterday. The list was just almost too long to read of guys who didn't practice, except for actually Jordy Nelson, who, of course, practiced because, of course, couldn't play on Sunday, but was able to practice on Wednesday. So, yeah, Wednesday practice superhero. Thanks, buddy. The last guy I wrote up was another guy who has shown in the past to be a huge target guy. He's actually translating it again this season. Really, the only issues for him in the past have been injuries, and that's Keenan Allen. So Keenan Allen, right now, in terms of targets, is fifth in the league through the first 2 weeks. He's averaging 10 targets a game. He's been converting them at a pretty solid rate here, right around 70% to start the season. Has a touchdown, too. Do we? I mean, the price has come up on him, right? So we were getting great deals on him for the first 2 weeks, just because the first week was a little wait and see because we wanted to see that they still were all systems go and how they're going to use him. They did. He ended up being a pretty popular play last week, and now the price has come up. Are we there on the price yet? I mean, like, so that really the only question for me is price on him, right? Like, the opportunity is clearly there. Now we're just wondering if FanDuel and DraftKings have corrected his salary enough to where he's still in play in cash games. I think he is, but it's close. Do you see him as a pretty safe commodity?
I think he's very much in play. I think, you know, a lot of people hear like something like 10 targets. We talked about this with carries as well. There were two guys in the NFL that had 160 or more targets last season. So that was Mike Evans and Odell Beckham Jr. And so getting 10 targets a game is no small feat. There were other guys that didn't play all 16 games, but you catch my drift. Getting 10 targets a game is no small feat. And we have seen Allen, like, he was going to get this many targets per game last season, and then he just got injured, right? So Denver and Miami also were pretty good against the pass last year. So if you take that all together, I think we have a situation where the Chargers' baseline plan is to pass to Allen, maybe even more than that. I love Allen here. I think he's going to be an $8,000 receiver by the end of the season, and I think we're still cashing in on, we're very much in early on the Keenan Allen thing. I mean, we were last week, but I think we are still there at 7,200, and if you can afford him alongside guys like Landry, that gives you a lot of safety up the middle that allows you to pay up at quarterback and running back where you're going to want to get additional safety. I think you can also just make the case, generally speaking, that he might be safer on a raw points basis than some of these more expensive guys like Mike Evans or, you know, Amari Cooper or whoever. So, yeah, I'm super in on Allen. I think he's a great play going forward.
Yeah, and you know, you bring up some of those guys, and I'm glad you did. The reason you know, we kind of trend toward these strict target and conversion guys is because for cash, this is exactly what you need. Of course, like guys like Cooper and guys like Evans are going to, not often, but are going to end up being in top GPP lineups because their upside is tremendous, especially when the downfield balls completely get to them. But guys like Landry and Allen, who don't really operate in that downfield plan, but actually do operate in the whichever way the game script is going plan.
They're there.
Right. Like, because, like, even, like, a situation where the games are close or even blowouts, like, these are still guys that get a lot of third down targets because their quarterbacks completely trust them. This is where, even in games where you're looking to run the clock out and looking to convert maybe, you know, third and fives or something like that to keep it going, these are the exact guys who get the ball, right? Like, and that's just exactly what we need. Like, in the $7,000 range is where they are on both sites. I'd much rather populate my lineups with guys like this and pay up at running backs where the opportunities are a little bit more crystal clear than to overpay for the guys you mentioned above who are clearly great, but they're just not great on a week-to-week basis, and that's their bigger problem, right? Because yeah. The target share just isn't there. We saw it with Cooper last week. Evans, who knows? Evans has a conversion problem, so it's a little different with him, but they're just they're more expensive for more volatility, and that's just not really what I'm looking to pay. The last guy I wrote up was Rashard Higgins. I'm wondering, he's going to be an interesting guy this week because I'm wondering where people are going to land. Now, his targets last game were completely crazy. Like I said, I think we mentioned this in the week two look back, but he came out of nowhere. He wasn't even available on FanDuel and DraftKings last week because he had just gotten brought up off the practice squad right before the game started, basically. And then comes out and had plus 10 targets, looked fine. I mean, he had some college pedigree. I did some reading about him where people in the draft had kind of compared him really favorably as I think Pro Football Focus and one other place had written about him saying that they really saw him turning in at some point to a real NFL wide receiver just because like his makeup and stuff, and it just really hasn't translated. Now, the Browns are horrible. Their quarterback play is in question, but he's so cheap. Like, at what point are we able to just withstand the bad team and bad quarterback for a guy who just now might be like a legit WR1 on a team? Like, I'm not totally convinced he is, but like, where do we stand on Higgins?
Well, there's two different scenarios this could go with Higgins. The first is that he just actually is the new guy who's going to get the targets because somebody has to get him in Cleveland, right? With Corey Coleman on the IR, somebody is going to have to be throwing the ball unless they just choose to run every single time, and I don't find that to be exceedingly likely. The other case, though, and I have seen this happen a bunch, and I think we've noticed this too, is that a lot of times when a receiver gets injured mid-game, the team basically has no plan, right? They're like, okay. Like, we just didn't run any sort of game plan for if the guy who we were going to throw to 10 times is out of the picture. And so they just throw it to somebody. And Higgins kind of slotted in that role. It's like he's sitting on the edge of the bench and someone's like, Higgins! And he's like, what, coach? And he's like looking for his helmet. You know, it's like that kind of thing. Like a Friday Night Lights sort of situation. And that's all well and good for 1 week, but typically we do want to see it for 2 weeks before we really, like, if with a week of practice, is Higgins still going to get double-digit targets? I'm not so sure. I mean, he's so cheap, so, you know, you do get a significant amount of floor built into that, but I wouldn't count on him just marching right out there and getting 10 targets when the team has time to prepare something. So, and the other team has time to prepare as well. Like, both sides are caught completely off guard. DeShone Kizer has been pretty bad, which is to be expected, averaging about 200 passing yards a game. But that's not very many passing yards to spread around, especially in two games where the Browns were down and had every incentive to pass. This is, though, just like kind of a D-League, you know, minor league sort of matchup here against the Colts without Andrew Luck, though. So I don't know. Anything goes. It's kind of a weird situation. I think you get plenty of floor on Higgins just on the price and probably the high ownership. But I would say he's not necessarily a must include. And it wouldn't shock me at all if he goes out there and has two receptions for 30 yards.
Yeah, the Browns this week are actually road favorites, and without looking at their schedule, and I don't need to, this will be the only time this happens all season. There's not going to be another scenario where the Browns are going to be road favorites against anybody. They just happen to run in to the Lion Indianapolis Colts. I'm saying Lion because it's clear they just lied about Andrew Luck to start the season. Like, they're like, he's questionable to start week one, and now he's like still not practicing week three. Like, they had no intentions of doing it. And it seems like I could probably save this for another podcast, because it just strikes me as just so shady by a team that was probably looking to like just sell tickets. I think, like, to especially like season tickets, like, to get into it, to make sure, you know, because they're not going to like rule him out for the season to start the year, but it's clear that they didn't have any intention to play him for maybe like the whole first half of the season. And I think they just misled. I think they just missed misled their fans, but I guess that's a topic for another
day. Doug Norrie doesn't necessarily represent the views of DFSR Incorporated.
Anything oh, hell yeah, I do.
It's just his opinion, and nope. He doesn't represent us as a business.
Nope. I represent everyone in the business. I own the business, and I represent
Let's talk about football. So Higgins, by the way, more than half of the total receiving yards of the last week's game. So just throw that stat in there so we can change the subject and not get sued by the Colts.
Against those good old Lion Colts. All right.
Tight ends this week.
I think Ertz is going to be the chalk here. The Giants have been pretty bad over the last couple seasons against tight ends. Ebron had done nothing week one and came out and caught a touchdown week two, and they were able to find him a couple times in the passing game. Witten completely demolished him in week one. Do you think Ertz, 6,500, so he's not up to the Gronk level of prices, only 5,000 and 5,000 on DraftKings. Do you think he's just like the safest just starting tight end at this point? Like, you know, Olsen's out now. We have Jordan Reed is hurt. Gronk's got his own issues, and he's expensive. Is Ertz just like the best week-to-week tight end that we're going to see? And like, are we still probably buying low on him also?
Yeah, Ertz leading the league in receiving yards for tight ends by a healthy margin, 34 yards over Jason Witten. Gronk is right there underneath him, and he's still not very expensive. You know, I think Witten will be a guy people look at in that same kind of similar safe category. Witten leads the NFL in both targets and receptions out of the tight end position and has 2 touchdowns as well. So I think some people would make a case that Witten is right there alongside Ertz in terms of overall safety. But I think you also don't get Witten on the main slate this week, right?
Yeah, correct. That's the reason I didn't write him up. I was going to say that. Witten is in there with me. These are just.
You were talking more broadly. So right on the main slate, Ertz is by far and away the safest option here when it comes to just production versus price. No question about it.
And the other guy I wrote up was Zach Miller. Miller, you know, quietly, he's 5th in the league in tight ends and targets this year. 15 is a guy we liked going into the season for week one. And then he saw some targets in week two. It does seem like the Bears are going to be just playing from behind the entire season. He's been able to convert 15 of his targets to 10 receptions and 81 yards. So not great, but he's still coming so cheap on both sides. He's basically just a complete punt play on FanDuel and DraftKings. Do you think you can move Ertz's price down into Miller in order to pay up in some other positions and feel good about it with Miller?
Yeah, I mean, Miller has as many targets as Rob Gronkowski this season. He's got 15 targets. He's got more than Jordan Reed, more than Delanie Walker, Charles Clay, all these guys. So, yeah, I think Miller, you know, he's a guy our system's been picking up on thanks to our wisdom and giving him the right number of targets. I think Miller will be probably fairly heavily owned. It's always so strange with tight ends. You know, the variance around touchdown scored is super high. You typically don't want to pay up for guys like Kelsey at 7,100. And then the middle range guys oftentimes wind up being in weird spots as well. I'm totally fine with Miller. I think he'll have pretty high ownership, even though he really hasn't done a ton yet. So, definitely got to keep an eye on.
Yep, and then I did mention a couple defenses here. Defense actually, you know, was pretty chalky the first 2 weeks with the Rams playing week one. They had pretty high ownership. And then last week, the Ravens had pretty high ownership. I don't see the same case kind of happening here because the sites have really corrected or kind of overcorrected for teams, corrected properly for teams in great matchups, and there are a lot of those this week. You know, it'll be interesting to see. I think you're going to see defenses much more shifted around here. I think this is a week that you can probably make a case to play a couple different ones more than usual. Patriots in a great spot, obviously, against Houston. You know, our system actually doesn't mind the Colts. I'm just going to reel through these real quick before we get out of here because I don't really want to spend. We could talk about more defenses on the game breakdown. But, you know, Colts in an interesting spot here against Cleveland at home. They're not good, but they're very cheap. And they actually they've been serviceable to start the first 2 weeks considering who they played. So if they're getting Cleveland this week, I like them coming on the cheap. And then you get like the Broncos against Denver. The Broncos play in Denver. The Broncos against Buffalo. So there are a couple teams to consider here that I do think that you see more than the first two defenses spread out in terms of ownership. All right, make sure you join us tomorrow when we have a full game-by-game breakdown looking at every single game covering in DFS NFL for week three. We're from dailyfantasysportsrankings.com, dfsr.com for short. Go over to the site now. My dad's calling me, presumably to wish me happy birthday. Go over to the site now and grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab. That's optimal lineups for NFL, NBA, MLB, DraftKings, and FanDuel. Free for 3 days, then $29.95 a month after that for now because our prices are going to go up starting in NBA season. Buddy, talk to you again tomorrow when we spend a lot more time talking about every game for week three.
Happy birthday to you.